Well, I sort of stayed behind in Nassau and tried to get together a career in, well, I say try, I did get a career together in film music. I'd had two bands together and I wasn't that keen on going through all the fuss of getting a third one together. So I wanted to exercise my musical abilities in another direction. And film music seemed to me a sort of logical thing to do.
Now, you've moved back from the Bahamas.
Yes.
Now living back in Britain. Why did you move back?
Primarily, it was for my children's education. But I was getting a little out of touch with the music industry. I was saying, where is he? You know, he's the other side of the world. So I came back here to be more on top of the music industry.
Were you pleased when you arrived back at what you'd seen, the changes that had gone on in your absence?
It was really strange, actually, because I put the radio on and oh God, what is that? You know, but it's funny. Like over the 2 weeks later, my record company said, "Oh, come and listen to this band," and I listened to them. And I don't know whether they had visions of me working with them or what, but I checked them out and I thought, God, no way. And it took me a year to really sort of like get my ear used to it. It just sounded so simple.
Do you think that talking about the music that you heard when you returned, and maybe it's an indication of the way music's changed in this country, do you think it's gone back to the way it used to be in the late 50s, 60s, you know, when the Rolling Stones were starting, when the Who were starting? They were very simple bands. They weren't sophisticated. They didn't have string sounds. It wasn't stereo. It was very basic R&B.
It hasn't gone back to that at all. I mean, when the Stones started, they played the Richmond Club or whatever it was there, and they played blues in the clubs, which is where it was meant to be played. They went out and played to the people. With the new bands today, I don't think they've had that form of apprenticeship. They've gone in there and been under the direction of a producer or whatever.
You think a lot of it's...
And then found that they had to go out and tour. Like, as a secondary thing, touring was considered.
You think a lot more of it's got to do with fashion and image than what they can actually play?
Yes, I think so. You have to get the right video and they have to look the right way. And certainly at the end of it all, they find themselves in the, oh God, now we've got to get out. Perhaps we should get out there and show ourselves to the people.
You're probably best remembered by most folks that lived through the music of the late 60s and early 70s as a player on a Hammond organ, doing things like Rondo and America in the Nice. And yet musical instruments have changed, and I guess you're changing too with each change in technology. You must be acquiring the use of different machinery. Have you adopted the use of different things now?
I had a very good relationship with the Moog company, obviously, but when Bob Moog left and went on his own, it was Norlin Music, I think, who were doing the Moog synthesizers. They were more concentrating on bringing out instruments for silly things like micro Moogs and little dinky keyboards, which just gadgetry, really. See, the Japanese stepped in on the market, didn't they? They took over. And Korgs came along, and their first synthesizers I had weren't up to much good. And I told them so, and they said, well, look, tell us what to do with them. And since then I've had a very good relationship with Korgs.
So you work as a sort of technical advisor, do you?
Yeah, they're custom building me a synthesizer at the moment.
Now, your Japanese interests have extended beyond your association with the manufacturer of synthesizers. You're in fact involved in the soundtrack of a Japanese film.
Yes, I just went to, I was over there in November doing the soundtrack to a film called Gemna Taizen on Kadokawa Films, and I've just heard actually that it's jumped into the charts at 52 and rising heavily.
In Japan?
In Japan, yes.
Bringing us up to date now, apart from the Japanese film score, you're writing music that will be contributed to an album called Hymn for the Modern Church.
My mother used to work at a school canteen. The headmaster there, when he knew who her son was, said, would he mind writing a school song? In fact, I went and saw my kid's sort of nativity play, you know, at the school. And I came back and I wrote this theme. And I sat down in my bar with my tape recorder and I got the idea together. And sort of sat on it for about 8 months. And last Christmas I recorded a Christmas song, but that got screwed up with different things. But I was left with this track, and Charisma Records heard it and loved it, said, oh, it's great, we'd like to use this on Hymns for the Modern Church, an album we're having out. I don't know what the rest of the album consists of.
What's
this moment.
The piece called?
It's called My Name is Rain. Ooh. It's myself with the West Park School Choir. Yeah, little kids, and the eldest one there was about 11 years old, I think. I'm working with a musician at the moment who's, in fact his name is Brian Chatton. He's written things for the Hollies, he's written for Sheena Easton. We're thinking along the lines of a band, but it's got to take its time along with the rest of the stuff.
Resume.
But it's looking very hopeful at the moment, that's what I can say on that one.